بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us together, mashallah. And to continue the series on the stories of the prophets, we're going to be continuing from the second part of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam's remarkable story. Last time we covered the creation of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the creation of the world, the creation of the universe. And we spoke about how Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam went through many stages in order to form himself into what he was made at finally. And so the Quran uses about four different words: turab, tin, salsalin, kalfakhar, and hama'im mastun. And these four words would indicate that there was different materials being used at the same time. For example, water, fire, wind, etc. We spoke about it last time. I don't want to mention everything again, right? So, mashallah, we spoke about the creation of Sayyidina Adam, how he his first words were, and then we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that he had superiority over the angels by the very the knowledge that Allah granted him, which shows the superiority of mankind, is because of the ilm that they receive, inshallah ta'ala. And so we should remind ourselves that when a person goes out to seek knowledge, then the angels actually lower their wings out of humility for that person, whoever goes out to seek knowledge. It's a beautiful thing. It's a reminder that when Adam has invested them in the beginning of time, when he showed that he was superior to them at the beginning of time, they still remember that. And so anyone who goes out to embark on studying knowledge, the angels still humble themselves in the same exact way, subhanAllah. So may Allah grant us understanding. Studying deen is one of the greatest things. When people are here, mashallah, you're here to learn ilm, right? We're not just here just to sit and get entertained till the food is ready, right? I hope that's not our intention. Our intention should be to learn some ilm of Allah Ta'ala, to get some ilm of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then implement in our life, inshallah, and convey it to others. It's always important that we keep these intentions in mind. So we left off on the part where Sayyidina Adam Alayhi Wasallam, or Sayyidina Alayhi Wasallam was made as soon as he defeated the angels in the challenge that they were given. Allah Ta'ala made Adam alayhi salam the center, and he called all the angels, millions and billions and trillions of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls all the angels in existence. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ustudu li Adam. Allah Ta'ala places Adam alayhi salam in the middle, and he says, he's like your Kaaba right now. So all the angels, they lined up, and they all in one single motion, they all made sujood in front of Adam alayhi salam to show his superiority of all of creation, that he is the best, and he's the one that, because of him, creation was made, okay? Because this is the reason why everything exists, for the test of mankind, of insan. Such a beautiful position he was brought in. Amongst the millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions, and Allah Ta'ala knows how many number of angels there was there, they're all making sujood of different varieties, of different sizes, of different shapes. Angels are of different types, right? And all the different angels that are making sujood, there's just one person who's just standing. I guess he doesn't like that. Burlington's mic is very moody, you know. One day it's like wonderful, the other day it's kind of like, just a, you know, under the weather type of thing, right? Like the Imam Sahib, right? So there are many narrations mentioned about Iblis, the one being that stood up, and the entire situation there was brought as a beautiful, beautiful reminder and scenario. Understand that every story in the Quran is brought because there's something within our human identity, something within our insaniyat, something amongst our humanity that needs to be corrected and we have to be very careful about. And this is why we're going to study the story from this lens, right? So Iblis, there are many different narrations from the Israeliyat, right? Because we're not the only ones to talk about Iblis. Who else talks about Iblis? The Jews do, the Christians do, Satanists do, devil worshippers do. There are many different depictions of a demon, right? Devil worshippers, etc. People have different concepts about how Iblis is. Okay, and so you get a variety of narrations because of that reason. And many things are mentioned in the books of Tafsir. So in terms of his origin, where he came from, some of them said that he is the first jinn, Right, he's the first jinn that was created by Allah Ta'ala. That's why he's known as Wal-Jan in the Quran. They said he's Abul Jinn. Some of them mentioned that he was, when the angels went down to take out all those shayateen, those criminal jinns on the earth, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, there was one baby that was left there, and that was the one that would become Iblis later on. Right, that one baby jinn that was there. Another mentioned that he was actually the leader of the angels, set taking them down to go and exterminate all the evil jinn on the earth. So many varieties of stories are mentioned about him. Right, and there are other things about him, his level of worship, right? Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he narrates that his name was Azazil, right? And you'll see that in terms of demonology of today, they have someone called Azazel, right? And so this is the same name that Iblis had before he became Iblis in that sense, right? So Azazel. How is that shit? Okay, sorry. Talking about this heebie-jeebie, jinnat stuff always kind of like, so it's weird. In any case, I was in a shaitan regime. Don't worry, you're fine. I was messing around. Don't worry. I'm not going to summon it right now. Okay. Not sure. So, Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Azazel. I'tizan in Arabic means to be isolated, to be by yourself. And so they said that he was the one that would remain engaged in the worship of Allah beyond all jinns that would be doing all these corrupt things. He'd be the only one worshiping Allah, to the point that it's mentioned that there will never be a single place on the earth except that he made sajda there. Right? Those are the things that are mentioned about him. In terms of what we can confirm from the Quranic basis, right? What you can understand is he was put in the presence of angels, right? This is for sure, because he was there. And Allah wouldn't call everyone, right? Allah only called angels. So then if he was from the jinn and he was allowed to be in that area, that means he must have been very noble and selected by Allah Ta'ala. The second thing that we understand from the Quranic basis again is that Allah Ta'ala actually talks to him directly. Right? Allah Ta'ala says, yeah, Iblis, right? Allah Ta'ala speaks to him directly. So that means that he has a certain connection to Allah, a very deep connection. So Allah Ta'ala addressed him in person. Does that make sense? So there is something there. That's the main reason I'm mentioning these things. So that's why the scholars have said that he had reached a level where he became the teacher of the angels, Mu'allim al-Mala'ika, and one of the Tabi'een had mentioned, he was known as Tawus al-Mala'ika. He was known as the peacock of the angels. The one that was noble over all of the angels. He was so selected. And it makes a lot of sense when you look at the story of Adam alayhi salam. Why does it make sense? Because Adam alayhi salam's story was also about knowledge. And so it makes sense that there was someone else, his foil. When you tell a good story, you always want to make sure there's a character on the opposite side who represents the opposite of your main character. Okay? So that way you could see the differences in between. So if Adam alayhi salam is the epitome or the high point of what happens when you use knowledge effectively, then Iblis will show you what happens when you use knowledge in the wrong way. Okay, and so some of them had mentioned, even to the point that is that when Iblis, his whole desire of worshiping and moving up and elevating and going up and up and up, so he'd be worshiping with the angels of the first heaven and the second heaven and the third heaven and the fourth and fifth and sixth, so he reaches the seventh heaven, so he gets as close as he can to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole goal, the whole fikr, the whole mindset was, how can I become the one who become the khalifa of the earth? How can I become the one who's in charge of everything? Allah alam again. About the reality of the matter. What we understand from the Quranic perspective is what? We see that he was someone who was there and he was not happy with the decision that Allah Ta'ala made. He definitely was not happy about the decision that Allah Ta'ala made. So he's standing up. And I'm telling you, this amount of courage, right? People out of humility, you could be like a really, really weak Muslim. But you see everyone going for sajda in Eid Salat, you go for sajda with some. You don't probably, even if you don't believe it, right? In Eid Jamaat, right? You ever see someone just like, nope, I don't care. they all make it. Right, even the guy who comes literally we have to delay the Eid Salah 45 minutes because that one guy's still driving in. He still understands, I still got to pray with these people. Do you understand the level of arrogance that all these angels are making sajda of that? And this amazing stadium that Allah has designed. And this one guy's like, no. The one Alif stands up by himself. There's nothing on him. No harakat, nothing. The Alif is such a beautiful reminder about how dangerous it is that people just stand up thinking they have a lot, but you're just empty. You can't even make a sound. What does Alif make? It doesn't make a sound. Hamza makes a sound. You put a harakah, put a fatha, dhamma, kasra on it, then it becomes something. That's why his first letter is Iblis, right? From Alif, right? Allah Alam, I know about the reality of these things. In any case, so he's such a person that stands up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so nice. Okay, and this is what you understand when you see these types of stories. How beautiful is Allah's connection with his creation? We all think that Allah is just going to throw people into Jahannam. This is how we think. May Allah forgive us. You have no idea how Rahman Rahim, how kind is Allah. Allah did not just throw Iblis into Jahannam. What does he do? He actually asks him and says, why did you do it? Is it unbelievable? This is like the first command, hukum for like all time. And Allah Ta'ala tells, and this is the person who disobeyed. Allah looks at him and says, Ya Iblis, ma mana'aka? right? Why did you, why didn't you do it when I commanded you to do it? So Allah gives him a chance. And his answer is so ajeeb. It's something so remarkable. It's something that we have to remember. And it's going to take us probably the entire time to just break down his answer. Okay, what does it say? It says, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ I'm better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ You created me from fire and you created him from dirt. Okay? The analysis and the logic that Iblis uses is absolutely incorrect. Okay? The logic that he uses here is absolutely incorrect. If there was a creature that Allah Ta'ala, because of its makeup, would be not allowed to, or someone who would be exempt from making sajda, it would have been the angels. Because the angels are made out of nur. If Iblis is saying, I'm made out of fire, so therefore I should not worship, then therefore the angels should have just said, Ya Allah, we're greater than him, so we shouldn't be able to do this either. So they're made out of nur, he's made out of na. So if he thinks he's better than dirt, they are definitely better than dirt. If he had the right to say something, it would have been the angels. But that's not the issue here. Another issue that we have is that how is fire greater than dirt? Okay, there are many issues that we can see here. One is that in terms of the fire always needs something to survive, right? You need oxygen for it to continue to thrive. Whereas dirt doesn't need anything? No, okay? What's another thing about fire? Fire is something that doesn't grow anything, it just destroys. Right? The more fire grows, it actually becomes more dangerous for everyone. Okay, although it can produce energy, that's for sure. But if you let fire wild, you know, just let go, it's just gonna destroy everything. There's total carnage afterwards. When it comes to dirt though, dirt is something that mashallah things can grow from it. It produces life, it produces something much greater than itself, right? So dirt in itself has so much more benefit. Fire rises, it becomes angry, right? It becomes more heated, right? Whereas dirt is humble. Right? Dirt is humble. Allah created us in that very humble state, subhanAllah. So these are things that you can understand and recognize that when he said, I'm greater from fire and you made from dirt, he absolutely made the wrong perspective whatsoever. There's no literally the most twisted of analogies here. SubhanAllah. That ended up, and this is the danger of arrogance. People need to understand this concept here. When people see takabbur is not something good at all. Kibr is not something good at all. Kibr is something that is exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is by his nature greater than everything. So Allah ta'ala is mutakabbir. He's someone who has that pride. He can handle it because he is greater than everyone. None of us are greater than each other. Okay? So what is the sunnah of Allah ta'ala when it comes to arrogance? The sunnah of Allah is Allah will pump you up. You will get gassed. You will become the highest in the point of the world. You'll become greater than everyone, and Allah will topple you down. You'll come down hard. That you were in such a good position at one moment, and then you'll find yourself crippled in another. And this is what happened to Fir'aun, Sam to Ad and Samud. This happened to Qawm Lut. It happens to everyone. Allah takes them up and slams them down. Every single person was designed. If you find arrogance in yourself, if you're thinking I'm better than someone, subhanAllah, be very, very careful about your final state. May Allah give us afiyah and protect us. The Prophet said, if you're not thinking of this world, I'll give you something hereafter. That whoever has mithqala zarratin, you know, min khardan, whoever has the atom's worth of kibir, of arrogance in his heart, will not enter Jannah. We're not going to, may Allah protect us. May Allah give us afiyah from that reality. But this is the thing. So you can see a matter of a man who's on top of everyone, and he completely falls below everyone. Ana khayru min. It's such a toxic disease. Would you not agree that it's such a toxic disease? Everyone has been commanded with one thing. Everyone's been commanded that riba is haram. All right? But what does the guy say who lives in America? Illa Iblis. I'm the exception. Illa. Except for me. Hijab is a fard. I'm the exception. I'm the always special snowflake. But the exceptions apply to me, no one else, right? Iblis wants, this is the Iblisian, like this is the satanic idea, is that I always have to be the exception. In America, everyone's a special snowflake. In Islam, in America, you find out such a variety of Islam, you're not going to find the entire world. Right, subhanAllah. This is how much, like, you have to be very careful. You know, I heard someone the other day telling me that someone was, like, praising public school. Yeah, you know, you throw your kids there, they can see the difference between kufr and Islam. I was like, what the heck am I hearing right now? SubhanAllah. You know, they're like, yeah, I survived. I said, yeah, you out of one out of 100. You know, SubhanAllah. You know, I had three Muslim kids in my school. I told you about the guy drinking Coke and bagel in the morning. The other one became a musician. Okay, bro, it's not. You know, you're looking at, oh, Shaquille did it or this guy did it. What do you think? We're praising the system? The exception does not make the rule. In America, everyone wants to be the exception. Everyone wants to be the exception. Riba is halal for me. Hijab is halal for me. I spoke about it in this Jummah, right? I talked about how the Iran and hijab thing. You know, Swan, I got like a very long, long message. 9 minutes. WhatsApp. It's very hard, right? To sit down and be patient. I listened to it. You know, he was saying that hijab is not fard. It's a difference of opinion type of matter. Right? Because again, the idea of Iblis is not just the fact of, and I'm not saying that this person is a Iblis. I'm not saying that. I never say that. If you ever want to talk about any issue of deen with, please come to me. I would love to sit down. One of the first things we learned from the beginning of creation is angels ask questions. Asking questions is a good thing. We like people asking questions. We enjoy it. We crave it. If you ever have a question, come to me. We'll talk it out, inshallah ta'ala. So he mentioned this point about like the thing of Iblis is what? It's not just I don't want to do it. I have evidence. I have a logical reason as to why I don't want to do it. Okay? And this is my logic. I'm made out of fire, he's made out of dirt, right? So then the brother goes and says that, you know, the situation, hijab in Iran, it's not a haram and halal issue anyways. Why do you keep mentioning it? I'm just laughing my head off. You know, so I'll break it down very, very easy for you guys, okay? You know, I don't do this often. I'll explain why I don't do this often about fiqh in reality, but just keep this in mind, okay? We'll make it very short and sweet. Everyone's okay for everyone, inshallah? Okay, so there are about 6 or 7 different verses that Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi writes an entire like 20-30 page article about hijab in the Quran. Okay, I just want to mention this very briefly. I don't have enough time to do this. The word for a hijab in the Quran is called khimar. Khimar. Okay, khimar is from the word khamar. What is khamar? Wine, alcohol. What does it affect? Your head. Okay, it affects your head.
Because, and so the Arabs saw that khamar affects your head, so therefore khimar is something that should cover your head. A muhammad horse in Arabic is something that has a black head from the head to the neck, and the rest of it's like white. Okay, that's what they understood to be a khimar. Okay, this is a very accepted understanding of the luga. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a woman should not expose her beauty except that which is apparent. Okay, so how could it be that a sister in the lamps in their forms and then expose her body? Her hair, etc. Allah says she must conceal that which is considered adornment, and that's what's something adorned for her, right? Even look at the end of the ayah in Surah An-Nur. وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ. Allah says she shouldn't even stamp her foot if she's wearing, because of the fear if she wears anklets, that it'll make a sound that it will attract the person. If that's the level that a woman is supposed to be covering herself, namely not wearing anklets to attract a man, are you telling me then Allah just say, yeah, it's completely fine for her to not wear hijab and things like that? You know, and this is besides the point. No, sometimes, because people often claim, and this is the big claim that people unfortunately fall into. I'm just mentioning this again, mashallah, just for you to think about, make fikr about this, right? They say that these are exclusive to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, exclusive to the Arabs at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not really applying to us. It's a cultural thing, right? And so they say that the only ibadah are like 5 times daily prayers. That's agreed upon. Like, so meaning physical acts of worship, people say that's the part that we have to practice. Everything about like, you know, dress and finance and everything like that, those are things specific to the Prophet. So you're telling me 1/6 of the Quran, 500 verses Imam Ghazali says are related to fit, finance, inheritance, marriage, divorce, all those issues. Yeah, those are the Prophet. Allah reveals 500 specific verses for the Prophet, and everyone else, mashallah, they're all scot-free. Okay, let's look at another ayah in Surah Ahzab. Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajik wa banatik, all Prophet say to your wives, say to your daughters, wa nisa'i mu'mineen, and say to the women of the believers, yudanina, they should lower upon themselves, min jalabibihin, wear a jilbab. Okay, they should lower on them a jilbab. What is a jilbab? Okay, if you're looking, I challenge anyone, look at any dictionary of Arabic. I haven't quoted any hadith of the Prophet. I'm not quoting any fiqh or anything like that. Just look at the Quran. You know, this is a very musallam, very simple issue. Again, this is a discussion. If you agree with me, mashallah, if you don't, we can have a conversation. The jilbab in every single book of Arabic, you're going to find something that covers a woman from head to toe. Aisha radiallahu anha said, if she can see with one eye on the street, that's enough for her. Okay? And this is the conversation that we really need to have, that people don't understand what hijab really means yet. Again, this is the reality of the matter. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, in order to support his position, brings 70 hadiths showing how hijab has been mandated. You have 70 hadiths about anything, okay? You have like 3 or 4 hadiths about roughly a day to raise your hands between chapter on the whatever, and you have like 70 hadiths for hijab. That's what this is the issue, okay? Now, having said all that stuff, would you follow fiqh because of the deen? No. If you're a smart guy and you really enjoy like Islamic discussion and stuff like that, once it's been proven to you, then you get satisfied, right? But the reality is that people don't follow Islam because I explained the fiqh to you, the deen behind it.
You follow Islam because I love Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not a matter of fiqh. Why do you think I never ever go and tell you like, okay, these are the ahkam, this is the ayat, this is that, that brother, why not beard? Why? No beard. Come on.
No, because why? Because you see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, mashallah, subhanAllah, he comes in the dream and the ulama say that the Prophet had a beautiful mushroom beard that reaches the chest. And now subhanAllah, the Prophet, whenever he describes it, has a beautiful beard, mashallah. If I love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I'll try my best to emulate him, right? I'll try my best to copy him. It's a matter of love, it's not a matter of fiqh, right? And that's the thing about people, that they think, like, when we talk about this issue, they think that we're trying to impress or impose people down people's throats. When have I ever, la ilaha illallah, Allah is my witness, when have I ever said, a sister, you must be doing these things? And everyone's on the level of Islam and Iman, and people need to develop. That's all it is. If I'm praying three salahs a day, I have to improve to four. If I'm going for four, I have to go to five. And inshallah, I should be increasing even more than that. Is anyone perfect here? Because that's what Iblis thought. You know? We have to be very careful, inshallah. Never should we ever impose it on people. But having said that, and now this is the main issue, we're getting there, right? Now, is there any government in the world that allows someone to walk around naked? Absolutely not. That's atrocious. How could a white person walk around exposing the awrah? Right? And so is nakedness the same in Islam and other countries? You get what I'm saying? Like, a nakedness for a, over here is what? No shoes, no shirt, no business, right? Something like that, right? You can walk into one of these places. If you don't have shoes or shirt, that's considered naked. So they won't let you in. If you walk out completely exposed, they're going to fine you. You're going to get fined, right? They have federal, they don't care how great you look naked, okay? It's not like, you know, I don't care how great you think you look naked. You're going to get fined for that thing. Islamically speaking, awrah, nakedness for a man and a woman there's a different definition. And so a woman is obligated that she has to, when she goes outside, she has to cover. Of course, that's considered she's showing off her nudity. Allah protect us. This is the reality of the matter. So people don't understand it. So they'll say some weird stuff, right? And they'll say, like, oh, they shouldn't force. There's no forcing. And then they're doing the right thing by taking it off and ripping off their hijabs, this and that. Like, subhanAllah, like, be careful. Okay, be careful. Protesting is fine. Like I told everyone, I said, protesting is fine. You're going to say something, then say something. Go ahead and say it. But don't make your protest disobedience of Allah. That's what Iblis did. Iblis made it that I will disobey Allah Ta'ala and then I'll show these things off. And I give maaf, and I take maazirat from everyone. I apologize everyone for taking about 10 minutes just to explain this issue. But I feel like people need to understand that, be careful. If you don't know, you don't know. And just say, I don't know. Don't make a claim or a statement that you will regret on the Day of Judgment. Because people will do that. You thought it was okay that people would just rip off their hijabs and say we're making a protest? And I even think those sisters that did it in that country, they're not even at fault. Because they're probably doing it because they thought it was culture. Okay? I blame the people that are trying to support them what they're doing. Because why are you supporting them with realizing that it's from the command of the Quran? Okay? And we can have a conversation. And so, one of the funny points was, the brother said, that's your opinion. I said, subhanAllah. Man, he got me. It's my opinion. I said, fine, it's my opinion. It's 1,300 years worth of scholarship opinion. I haven't found a single madhab that supports that a woman will not wear hijab. Okay? This is part of the Quran. If I'm wrong and all the scholars are wrong, that's fine. You and I both disagree. Okay? We both disagree. Okay? If you're saying your opinion is fine, my opinion is fine, is everyone's opinion fine about the Quran? Is the Christian's opinion fine about the Quran? Is the Jew's opinion fine about the Quran? Is the ISIS guy's opinion fine about the Quran? If everyone's opinion is okay, then everyone should be okay then. But clearly you disagree about certain people, right? So if we all disagree, what is the command in the Quran about disagreements? When تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you disagree about anything, return to Allah and Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I don't know anything about the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you ever notice about our talks, about moon sighting, about dhariha, about any issues of fiqh, we never ever talk from people about contemporary time. We just talk about what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do. Because we're debating who's going to settle the debate. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay, so may Allah grant us understanding and grant us tawfiq. The sickness of this is what? I have an idea. My idea is what? I am better than you. I am better than you because Allah created me from fire and Allah created you from dirt. Iblis said this. This was the start of all racist ideologies and tendencies throughout humankind. Everyone that feels that I am better than someone because of where I was born or which country I came from or what tribe I came from, subhanAllah, we are experiencing racism at its very finest from Iblis. Shaitan wants you to be a racist because he was a racist. Because that's what he was. This is one of the craziest things in the world. That someone would say that because of the place where Allah Ta'ala chose for me, and because of that location, then therefore I'm superior without any discussion afterwards. The Prophet absolutely eradicated this. The Prophet said to the Arabs of his time, he said, لَا فَضْلُ لِعَرَبِينَ لَا عَجَمِي وَلَا لِأَحْمَرَ وَلَا أَسْوَدَ إِلَّا أَن تَفْضُلَهُ بِتَقْوَى. The Prophet said, there's no virtue of an Arab or an Arab, or a black or a white, except that you're superior to them in taqwa. Taqwa is how you do it. In the Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That the noblest of you by Allah is the one who has the most taqwa. This is what Allah says. The Prophet said to the Arabs, he says, for you guys to boast about your forefathers. The Prophet said it to them. I'm not saying it to you guys. The Prophet, it could be a lot of us too. The Prophet said to the Arabs of his time, he said, to all you that boast about your forefathers of Jahiliyyah, he says they are the fahm of Jahannam. He said they are the gravel of Jahannam. The Prophet said, don't talk about people who are kafir and say they're better than Muslims. This is what it is, right? My country is better, or that place is better. How could it ever be? It least wants us to fall into this. He was the first racist. And whenever we get that feeling that I'm better, and this is something I want to make sure everyone understands. If there are two people, if there are three people in a gathering, and I've seen this, Mullah Ibrahim Sultanis, and I remember this, I still remember this, mashallah. He would say that two people start English. They're speaking English, and he would not understand English. And then you tell us in Urdu, afterwards, you say that, kya ho rahe? Right? What are you all doing? Right? Are you making fun of me? Are you insulting me? That's why you chose a different language. And then he said the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ was what? He said that if there are three people, then two people cannot get into a conversation without the third. And so the Prophet ﷺ actually said this because, and he said from this point we can understand, if two people understand a language and the third one does it, then not allowed to talk in that language. Can you go to the third person thing? He's making fun of me. How could everything that was okay for people to start conversing in two other languages? And we make fun of other people's languages. Person speaking in Chinese, and we all make fun of that language. People speaking in this language, or Bengali, or this language, or whatever, we start making fun of them. Allah Ta'ala says from His sign, from His ayatihi, Allah says that from His signs, amazing signs, that He created the heavens and the earth, and the differences in your languages, differences of your tongues. If you make fun of other people's dialects, it's not even jazz. Okay, it's not even jazz to make fun of people's dialects. I'm saying that as a silatu. Okay. Only like three Bengalis in the gathering got that. Yeah, we should not be insulting people's languages. We should not be insulting people's dialects. This is just a beautiful part of creation. All of the created it like that. One kid thought, mashallah, we have like one Australian kid, mashallah. He speaks really, two Australian kids, mashallah. And whenever I ask them, speak in your dialect, please. And they're like, no, you're making fun of us. I enjoy it. It's nice, right, to hear something different. That's just some nice stuff, right? Mr. Aswad comes, you talk for 3 hours, I'll sit there in the same spot. It's nice, it's enjoyable, mashallah. Mufti Amjad Saab, Abdullah, Daud Barakatum, is from HMS, mashallah, in Chicago. He said that, because I saw that he was very different from other ulama. He spoke in American dialect versus like the UK dialect, right? Because he usually speaks in like a British type of tone. He spoke straight American. You should listen to him, it's nice. And so I was like, why? Because everybody usually chooses British because it's British. It sounds good. He's like, no. I think that when the British, when they speak, they feel like they're trying to conquer you. And then he said that Americans seem very smooth. So that they're actually trying to get to know you, like some kind of heart-to-heart conversations going on. This is from the signs of Allah Ta'ala. To say that I'm better because I'm from this and he's from that, and therefore I'm superior, straight from the beliefs. Allah, forgive me. This is the main thing that we should learn from this type of discussion. Ya Allah, I have this sickness of arrogance. I have this sickness of racism. These are terrible things that we have in our hearts. Allah to give us and protect us from this. What else did Iblis do? When we move forward from the discussion of racism, we find that subhanAllah, Allah asked him, and says, why did you do it? He goes and says, I did it because of this reason, and this reason, and this reason. Right? this is the reason why I do so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes and says, get out of here, right? Get out of here. But innaka rajim, because you are an outcast, you are cursed. Wa inna alayka la'nata ila yawmiddin, and upon you is my curse to the day of judgment. Okay? Now at this moment, Allah ta'ala is giving you one extra chance. Do something, say something, right? But His jealousy and hatred for Adam alayhi salam is so deep, He doesn't even consider it. So He goes and says, that Allah give me life to the day of judgment, and I'm going to promise you, Allah, I'm going to misguide all of them. This is what jealousy does. What does jealousy do to a person? Hasad. Hasad again is the source from. Hasad is from Shaitan, from Iblis. Hasad, jealousy is what? That a person will look at someone else and say that, why did Allah give him this? Why didn't Allah give me that? I got what he has, and I'm very upset that I don't have what he has. So then his whole life is fixated on how do I get what he has, right? And if I can't get it, then I don't want him to have it. Okay, and so his hatred towards Adam alayhi salam does not end at Adam alayhi salam. What did Iblis say? I will misguide him and his children till the day of judgment. His hasad is deep. Okay, our hasad usually just goes maybe one or two generations, right? Probably, maybe we extend horizontally. I hate his cousins and his cousin's cousins, right? This person has la'nat, I hate the cousin. And his niece married my son. So my son, I hated him because he did something wrong. And this one didn't come to my fish's janazah. So I'm very upset that he didn't come to my fish's janazah. And so I'm very upset that my beloved kitty, Blissy, he didn't come to Blissy's janazah. And she was so important to our family. So I hate both of them now, right? And so now, if they got married, then I hate their kid, right? So then the grandchild, he didn't do anything wrong. But I hate him because why? Because that's my son. You know, I miss my janazah of my beloved kitty. You know, it's very, very discern. If you think about all of our problems, they sound very silly when we speak about them. He didn't come to my son's wedding. He didn't come to my daughter's wedding. Or I invited him for food. He didn't come for the dawah, right? Or that he came and, you know, he did something wrong, and so therefore I hate him for the rest of his life. What did he do? SubhanAllah, relax. Relax. If you don't let go of this here, where's it going to get resolved? In front of the gates of Jannah. Allah said, no entering Jannah unless you have no hatred for one another. Hasad is not jaiz. Hasad is not okay to enter Jannah with. You must love everyone that you enter Jannah with. So if you hate someone, it's fine, you're going to enter Jannah with them. But this is the thing, right? So this is what goes really deep. He said from the beginning of Adam, all the way to his grand, all the way to the last person, all the great grandchildren, I'm going to misguide everyone. Okay? And all this started because of one word. And this is the word I want everyone to reflect on. Ana. Ana in Arabic means? I understood. My understanding. I feel. I think. I. Nafsi. Obey your thirst. Just do it. Do what you want. This entire shaitani system that we live in, the whole system of just, you know, choose, get your decisions, right? Once upon a time, and I'm not using this as an example because, you know, it's a good thing, but like there was once upon a time where, you know, you had to have this TV and there were set programs, right? And that you have to, okay, at 7 o'clock, this is what's going to be shown at that time. So you come in at that time, then, you know, that's the time you're able to watch it. Nowadays, you know, Ajib is what? Now it's all your choice. Choose whatever you want. Get to watch whatever. Do you have a Netflix? You have a this and that. You get to decide what you want. You know, the whole point of this is what? Selection. Choose. Shaitan just wants that what? You get to choose. It's all up to you. As much as you can choose. You can choose your programs. You can choose your lifestyle. You have freedom of choice, freedom of religion. You can even choose your gender now. Forget about even gender. Become a cat if you want. Or become whatever you want. That's the level of choice that he wants. He wants Ana. I think this, or I feel this, so now I should be allowed to practice on whatever I feel. And this is the biggest danger. Now, I want to ask everyone, did you at least not know that I'm like this? 100% he knew. Did Iblis not worship Allah? 100% he worshipped. Right? If, you know, they say that the greatest alim is him because of the fact his level of knowledge is so superior. Imam Razi, they said that at the time of his deathbed. Imam Razi, he said that he had 70 proofs for the existence of God. He knew how to prove Allah doesn't exist through 70 different ways. So Iblis came himself to his deathbed. The scholars saw it later. And they said that when he came, he refuted and he debated him. And so every proof that Razi brought, Shaitan would bring a proof to counter it. So 70 proofs were taken out in 70, or 100 proofs were taken out in 100 different ways. So now Razi was stuck. What are you going to do now? So when the alim, he was making wudu nearby, and he saw Razi experience with the state. And he said, Razi, tell him I believe in Allah without proof. Amantu billah, bighayri dalil. No dalil. I believe in Allah. Shaitan left, running away. Right? What can you do then, right? He's so intelligent, so knowledgeable. What made him the biggest disbeliever ever? He considered the command of Allah Ta'ala to be nothing. This is the thing that everyone needs to understand. People think what it means to be a Muslim is that I believe Allah Ta'ala exists. No. Okay? A Christian believes God exists. A Jew believes God exists. Right? You believe the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? That's the difference, right? And beyond that is what? What makes you a Muslim is that you accept every command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Even if I do it or not. What do we have in our time? What's such a tragedy as well? Such a tragedy. Everyone is denying every single command of the Quran. This is not there. They don't exist. They don't believe in it. They don't want to follow it. You know, all this different stuff. And they hate the commands of Allah Ta'ala. The hatred of God, the hatred of Allah is from Iblis, okay? What did Iblis say? Once Allah Ta'ala, you know, told him that you're going to go to Jahannam forever, Iblis asked, he said, Allah, give me life till the day of judgment. And then he said, okay, I'll give you life. Then he goes and says, Rabbi falima agwaitani. God, because you misguided me. God, because you misguided me, I'm going to sit on the path and I'm going to misguide all of them. He blames Allah for all of his problems. What do we do? Why did God do that? Why did Allah do that? Why did Allah say, did this to me? Why did this happen to me? Why didn't I get married to Fatima? Why didn't I get married to Aisha? It's all his fault, right? Why are there wars in the world? Why is there abuse in the world? Why is there haram in the world? Why is this and that in the world? Why is there all these different things in the world? You know, subhanAllah, that whole thinking is from who? The first guy who started it, Iblis. He goes and blames Allah and he says, Allah, it's your fault that I got misguided. Because you wrote in Qadr, so therefore it had to be like that. As if he had no choice in the matter, subhanAllah. He wanted to choose, and after he chose the wrong thing. He said, no, no, it's not my fault anymore. We do the same exact thing, right? We made all the wrong problems, then we say, Allah, why? You know, why? There's one guy, subhanAllah, it's been 6 years, subhanAllah. Same guy comes for Jummah late. Okay, so he misses it sometimes, subhanAllah. May Allah grant him understanding. I make dua for him. You think I talk about these stories just to like, make fun of people? I make dua. Allah grant understanding. Sometimes he misses it, he prays Dhuhr, right? And he goes and tells me, he's like, what's up? I'm like 32. I don't have a job. I'm still living with my parents. I haven't got married yet. What should I do? I said, Bitcha, please, just make Jummah first. Like, please. You know, like, you're doing everything wrong. Like, what did you think was going to go right? Hassan al-Basri Muhammad, he said it very beautifully. He said, if you're seeing that everything is being delayed in your life, if you think everything is being delayed in your life, that my risk is being delayed, my marriage is being delayed, my this is being delayed, he said, look how much you're delaying your prayer. And then ask those questions. Fudayl ibn Iyad Muhammad Ali, he came home one time and he saw that his wife wasn't listening to him, his children were not listening to him, his donkey was even yelling at him, it was praying to him, all this stuff. Fudayl ibn Iyad was like, oh, what's happening? Then he thought about it, he's like, oh, I forgot to pray Ishraq. I forgot to pray my duha prayer. So he went back to the masjid and he prayed at Ishraq, did 4 rakats, 2 and 2. He came back home, his wife loves him, his kids love him, even the donkey's coming up to him and he can let him pet it, mashallah. If we're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you think everything was going to go right? The sunnah of Iblis is to blame Allah. To go and say, Allah, it's your fault that this happened. Without taking any of the blame for myself. Rabbi fama waitani al-aq'udan lam sirata al-mustaqim. So then he goes and says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, he says, fine. The haq is the haq, and I'm going to speak the haq. Whoever follows you, I'll send them all to Jahannam. Okay, there are a lot of challenges Iblis. How's Allah challenge Iblis? وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَاجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ خَيْرِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدْهُمْ. Allah says, and entice them. Go ahead, Iblis. Try your best. بِصَوْتِكَ. Let your voice entice them. Call them with whatever you want. The voice of Iblis, the voice of Shaitan, is interpreted in a couple of ways. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu had said, that it is that the songstresses and the women that will sing and the men that will sing will become very popular and common amongst people. Singing music to become the way that Shaitan, he allows to attract a person. Someone asked me, he said, that, how do you say music is bad for you? How can you say that music isn't good for you? You know, subhanAllah, it wasn't me, it was my friend. He was mentioning this to me. And he said that when someone asked me that, I said that when you listen to music, what happens? He says that you start tapping your foot. He's like, yeah. He said, do you feel like moving? It's like, yeah. He's like, don't you think it has a control over you? If that's how much control it has over your body, what thing is doing to your heart? The Prophet said, music grows hypocrisy in the heart. Like how water grows crops. People think it's going to grow very slowly, but eventually the love of Quran will disappear. The love of the ibadah will disappear. This is the thing about music. Allah that says, this is the soul of Iblis. Another one is the waswasa that people have. The waswasa that people find. The whispers of the shaitan that people experience, that's all from Iblis. That's from the sound of Iblis. وَاجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. And send upon them from your armies, and from your horsemen, and from your foot soldiers. The ulama describes to say, these are the countries that are ruled by disbelief. That the رَجِلِ خَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ, or the armies of Iblis, are those people that have these kufr cultures, and then people want to follow them naturally, because they just see the culture there, and they start to follow them. You find that these celebrities, all these celebrities, 100, I'll give like 95%, okay, good 95%. They're all like devil worshippers. They all worship the devil. They all worship Shaitan. They all have these different poses and different things like that. I'm not going to do it right now, because I'm scared that people might take a picture or something like that, and I don't want to be put in a very, very weird position, you know what I'm saying? Supporting Illuminati or something like that, you know? So the thing is that, you know, they are straight up devil worshippers, and they're the ones that have the most followers in the world. You're looking at the followers on Twitter and Instagram, etc. Our Muslim speakers have nothing close to what they have. If people thought that a sign of Allah's acceptance was that you have a lot of followers on Twitter, that means Lady Gaga must be the greatest wali of Allah. Okay, brother? Okay, relax. Okay? We have to relax here. The sign of acceptance of Allah is never in the numbers. The sign of acceptance of Allah is the quality of the ibadah. Okay? So in any case, Allah says, وَجِبْ عَلِيمْ, send upon your footmen and your horsemen. Right? وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ, participate. Have a part in their wealth. Let them have haram in their wealth. Put some haram in there. The Prophet said, a time will come where no one will be escaping the fitna of riba. You will be someone who devours or consumes riba. And if you don't even consume it, the Prophet said, you'll be attached by its smoke. We live in such a time where the Prophet said that you'll be living in a time where there'll be so much riba outside that you only find that you'll be hit by it or you'll be hit by the smoke of riba. That's what it is. It's a tragedy, right? And that's what we find. People always have this question. Sheikh, I have I have this job, but part of it is haram. Sheikh, I have the job, but part of it is haram. I have this job, but this part is haram. What do I do, Sheikh? It's like literally every job that you try to find is always something like that, right? Even to the point that someone said to me, he's like, listen, it's not jayz to invest in this or give to this or give to this because they do this, this, and this, and this. I said, brother, whoa, slow down. If you're going to get this far, okay? I'm not even sure you can go to buy something from Walmart anymore, okay? Like you're gonna have some extreme issues here. That's why you have to go to the fuqa and ask them what is halal versus what is haram, right? When a person has a small amount of percentage of their wealth, if it's a job which is not dealing with direct haram, like for example, if you're like someone who is working at a convenience store and they sell like bacon, okay, now is your primary job selling bacon? No, it's to work in a convenience store. And so that part of it is okay. There's this one part of it where they're selling bacon, something you have to present it to the person. So I said that, look, everything has something like that. Give some sadaqah for Allah Ta'ala and just consider that to be the haram wealth. Inshallah, everything else will be fine for you, y'all. So there are ways to resolve these issues. But if you were selling directly bacon, like your whole stop is store is like selling bacon, then God help you. like that's not. وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ right? وَالْأَوْلَادِ and participate among them with their children. Right. Allah Ta'ala says, try your best to entice and take a part in their children. Make it a part of their day to make sure they watch something from YouTube. Make it part of the day they're watching something from the TV. Make sure that in some of their day, they're doing something that is not okay completely. Make sure in part of their day, they're doing this or doing that or something like that. Look at all of our children. Such a tragedy, you know? That's why, one person put up a comic. It was a very ajeeb, funny thing. It was just, two shaitans are talking to each other. Like, all right, what do we do today, guys? And he's like, I don't know. Let's try to do this and this. And then the bigger shaitan comes, hey, guys, don't worry. Everyone has a tablet and iPhone now. You're all good to go. You're all completely free of charge. You don't do anything anymore. Because literally, all you can do is sit down and all you can be misguided. You know, friends are not just physical friends anymore. Friends are also on virtual, right? They're also virtual. Many kids are misguided because of that. وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَوْلَادِ It means that participate with their children. Make sure you involve the children in all these haram things. Because we always drop our guard when it comes to our kids. We always drop our guard, right? And then the other thing is what? That make sure that zina becomes so normal for them. So now you're literally participating with their children. Okay, a kid that becomes a person that's born from zina or distant zina and that and zina, right? There's so many kids that are so embarrassed in our community we can't even present a lot of weddings anymore, right? We can't present a lot of weddings anymore. Because why? Because getting married to a non-Muslim. Right? It becomes so embarrassing. How can you even discuss these issues anymore? Right? It becomes very shameful for us. We have to protect us from these things. Again, I don't mention this to make people feel depressed. I'm just saying to look at the reality of how much shaitan has really had a grasp on everything. Okay? And then Allah says, and promise them, wa'idahum. Don't worry. You did Hajj like 20 years ago. You're going to Jannah. Right? Don't worry. You gave that big sadaqah. Remember, you're going to Jannah. Don't worry. You do all the sins. Allah's Ghafur Rahim. Allah forgive you anyways. You thought this was even serious? Allah forgive you anyways. Don't you know Allah Ghafur Rahim? You don't just continue, it's fine, right? You'll make tawbah tomorrow, don't worry. Just do it right now. Just do it, right? Go ahead. Who's watching? Who's doing all this thing? You'll be completely fine. No problem whatsoever. You thought shaitan was on your side, bro? When he whispers to you, he's not whispering to be in your benefit. He's whispering to be in your harm. He's trying to damage you and destroy you as much as he can. Now, who's the biggest fool? It is the one who listens to the words of his enemy, thinking that that is his biggest helper. And that's what happens when shaitan whispers to us. We listen right away. He promises them. وَمَا يَعْدِهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا Allah says, shaitan only promises them deception. Then Allah says something really crazy. You want to know what Allah says? I don't mean crazy in that sense. I mean like, it was just very ajeeb. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ سُلْطَانٌ It's beautiful, right? Allah says, surely my slaves, you have no power whatsoever. Allah challenged Iblis, said, try your best to do these things. And Allah says, my slaves, you have no power whatsoever upon them. Allah says, I promise that Iblis, if you're going to do all this stuff, that's why it's mentioned in a beautiful hadith of the Prophet Iblis says, I swear by your honor and your majesty, Allah, I will do my best to misguide all of them and send them all to Jahannam. And Allah says, I swear, wa izzati wa jalali. Allah says, by my honor and my magnificence, I promise to forgive them. Every single time they make a mistake. Look what Allah is doing with Iblis. Such a long conversation with the guy who's supposed to be la'nat. You know what I'm saying? You understand? These are long ayat. This is not even the first one. Shaitan has another place where he's like, Allah, you want to know what I want to do to them? I will command them that they will start to pierce the ears of cows, which is the Jahili practice. Long discussion, separate topic. And then there was another place where he says, and I will command them so they'll change the creation of Allah. That's what you see today. Subhanallah. Everywhere we look, people are trying to do as much as we can affect someone's genetics, someone's genes. And there's a scope where it's permissible and scope where it's impermissible.
But to the point that people are trying to change, again, this entire phenomenon of like people just trying to have control over everything about themselves, to change this or this or this and this, right? And it's a very simple thing, you know, it's one, Allah give Afid and protect us, right? This is the thing that the fitna of our time is LGBT, etc. And you see that people just want to change this and this and this about themselves. It's everything from shaitan. If you're looking at the pictures of shaitan, the pictures of Baphomet, etc., they're always showing someone who's androgynous, right? Someone who has both male and female parts. And this is the same thing you're seeing in our society today, that people are completely indulged, engrossed in this type of behavior. You think, where do you think these ideas are coming from? So Iblis does all this stuff, and Allah promises and says, I promise that I will forgive every single one of them. Every single time you try to misguide them, I will forgive them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it such a beautiful thing. The hadith of the Prophet says, Allah extends His hand during the day to forgive the sinners of the night. Allah extends His hand during the night to forgive the sinners of the day until the time that the sun rises from the west. The Prophet says, Allah will continue to forgive a servant as long as the soul does not reach the throat. Another hadith of the Prophet which says, that Allah says, if you came to me with a world full of sins, and you came to me, you didn't make shirk with me at all, and you made tawbah to me, Allah says, I promise in my power and my majesty, I will forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserved what? He said, one mercy of my 100 mercies, I divide amongst all of creation here. And I said, from this one, from my mercy, everyone will have love and compassion for one another. And I said, but I save 99 parts of the believers on the day of judgment. You have to remind yourself, we made mistakes. And this is the honesty that people need to do. Don't do the Iblisi thing. What's the Iblisi thing? I'm justified in the fact that I committed a sin. We justify it. Because I live in America, I can't do anything about it. Because of this, I can't do anything. Because of this. Because of what? Because of what? What is it that it's so big that you can disobey Allah who gave you everything? Allah, my Rabbi Kareem, who made me, from Adam, I didn't deserve to be born. Allah made me, and I'm disobeying Him. Why do people not consider these things? It's so sad to me in my heart that people can just say, I'm justified in committing guna. No one is justified in committing haram, ever. It's not okay. Allah forgive us and give us understanding. It's just so sad that today we just find people that justify every single part of it, right? And when we speak about halal and haram, people get offended. Oh my God, you like attack me. Like, what am I attacking you with? I didn't have no gun here. You want to go home and not do it? It's your choice. I'm not coming to check your house. Like, okay, are they watching Netflix now? Who are they going to do that with? Tomorrow, make your choice and decisions. And day judgment, everyone's going to pay for it. It's not like we're not going to pay for all these things. So this is what Shaitan does. And then finally, he's exiled and banished. And he's cast out from the in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when he's cast out, Allah ta'ala turns to Adam alayhi salam again. And goes and says, Ya Adam, I'm going to take you to a very special place. And then he's brought to this wondrous, magnificent area. A place with full of gardens and trees and rivers and all this amazing stuff. A castle and this and that and all these extraordinary stuff he's seeing. And Allah says, Adam, this is Jannah. This is for you. You stay here. You live here. You reside here. This is your place. Okay? You get to enjoy it. So Adam alayhi salam, you can imagine, look, what is time in Jannah? Time and space don't exist, you know? This is the thing, like the rules of time and space, rather. The rules of time and space in our world do not exist in Jannah. When you ask the person, like, you know, I asked, like, Sumaya, my daughter, I said that, what would you like in Jannah? She said, I like chocolates and candy and, like, toys. I'm like, oh, that's nice, mashallah. If I asked the boy here what he would like for Jannah, I could probably get some definitive answers. I'm pretty sure I already know. Okay, if I ask a sister, I probably get a longer list, and half the stuff I probably wouldn't even understand. Okay, that's usually what happens between men and women, right? People don't understand the legitimate differences between us, right? If I were to ask you guys, what is the thing you want? Don't tell me, I got it, okay. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْخَيَاطِينِ وَالْقَدَرِ. Allah Ta'ala defined in one ayah of Surah Al-Imran, right? What is it, mashallah, you want the Tesla, the Tesla, and mashallah, if I told you get a Tesla, like, I don't care how academic you are. I don't care how academic you are. If someone said, I'll offer you a Tesla right now, I'm like, yo, man, Tesla, oh my God, Lambo, Mustang, subhanAllah. This guy would love it. He would love that car, that power, muscle car. That's my muscle, man. People know I'm in charge. I'm the imam stuff, you know? Right? I drive that big thing, subhanAllah. That's what a guy would love. Look at you, all becoming happy, mashallah. Like, mashallah, please, tell us more about cars. The sayyara, please. We need the sayyara, right? Nisa, woman, like, this is so basic of things, subhanAllah. Things that Adam alayhi salam is enjoying Jannah, and he has the gardens, he has the plantations, he has the animals, he has everything that he could ever want. But something's still missing. Something's not there that needs to be there, and or else it's just not gonna feel like Jannah anymore. And this is the thing that people need to recognize. And I think we'll probably just wrap up on this one little point, inshallah. Because if I jump too ahead, then I don't want to shorten anything else, inshallah. So the thing is that Adam alayhi salam, there is still a craving in his heart that Sakina is not coming, even though he's in Jannah. It's crazy, right? How could it ever be that you're in Jannah, you're still not feeling contentment of heart? How could tranquility not come? You're in Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala knows this. He knows everyone better than themselves, right? So then what does Allah Ta'ala do? Well, Adam alayhi salam is resting, right? And then, so it's mentioned, you know, again, in different narrations, etc. So then, you know, the lowest rib of Adam alayhi salam was taken out, right? And then he wakes up, and he's asleep, and he wakes up, and he sees this beautiful woman next to him. Amazing woman next to him. And he said, Allah, who's this? So this is your wife, Adam. So I married you to her, right? Her name is Hawa. She's supposed to live with you in Jannah, right? And so people, unfortunately, also object to this point. They go and say that why was a woman made from a rib? That means she's inferior. Yeah, Rabbi Kareem, and so on. Everyone wants to object and throw everything, right? Adam is made out of dirt, you know? Do you understand that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people forget. This is the problem, right? Allah has to make you out of something. Allah has to make you out of something, okay? You have to be made out of something. You weren't made out of fire. You weren't made out of nur. You weren't made out of light. You weren't made from this and that. Human beings are made from dirt, so they can remember humility, right? And a woman was made from the rib of a man or next to his, because why? Because he's not supposed to be over his head to dominate him, nor under his feet to be crushed by him, but near his heart, because that's the closest point that she's supposed to be. Does that make sense? That she's in the place where it's closest to his heart. There's a deep relationship, right? He's not complete without her. She's not complete without him. There is a relationship there, okay? Now, this is the thing about nikah, is that it was instituted since the beginning of time. You're asking about a Sharia command that was there since the beginning? It was nikah. Nikah was there before even time even began. This is what Allah Ta'ala made, that every single human had to be in nikah. Zina was never allowed. Zina was never allowed. Okay, so this is the reality of the matter, that nikah was always there from the beginning of time. So Allah Ta'ala brings Hawa alayhi salam and Adam alayhi salam, and now mashallah they're both together. Alhamdulillah, now they have a very beautiful complete form, mashallah. Now they both, Allah Ta'ala says, "Wa ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah." Oh Adam, you and your wife both live in Jannah. You take your wife and you bring her and you reside in Jannah. Wa kula minha ragadan haythu shi'tuma. Eat from wherever you want, wherever you want. Wa la taqrabu hadhihi ash-shajara. I just give you one rule, Adam. Don't go near the tree. Don't go near. Not don't eat. Don't go near. Right? Because why? Because if you get near haram, what is automatically the human tendency? You want to do haram. Okay? So Allah did not say don't eat from the tree. Allah said don't even get near it. And this is the command, wala taqrabu zina. Don't even get near zina. Right? Allah says, don't get near the tree because that could make some weird feelings in you. So then it's Jannah. How big do you think Jannah is? If there's one tree that you're not supposed to touch, where do you go? Okay? It's like on the all the way on the other side. You're like, I'm not even getting near that. I'm not even getting near that. Right? I'm not even going near that. Right? If I go near, then it's going to be very dangerous for me. Right? So then, subhanAllah, everyone's okay. If I continue, it's fine. Okay, I went over the limits. I don't know. Okay. So when Adam alayhi salam was put into Jannah, and alhamdulillah, he finds his completion with his wife, right? And alhamdulillah, this marriage will continue, inshallah, within Jannah, before the world, during the world, and after we leave this world, inshallah, we'll also be with our spouses too, our wife too, right? Alhamdulillah, and you'll enjoy it. The husband will not be as cranky anymore, and the wife will be beloved, mashallah. Everything will work out great, alhamdulillah. You're going to have a wonderful relationship, mashallah. Okay? So now, Adam, he distanced himself as much as he can from the tree. He's not going to go anywhere near that. Why would he want to go near something that's so dangerous for him? Allah said not to do this. So he's going to obey Allah as much as he can. So he further distanced himself away. So then what do we find? The next ayah, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan, he gets a chance to whisper. The waswasa comes. Okay, and this had puzzled a lot of scholars as to how, because Shaitan, after being kicked out of Allah Ta'ala's presence, how could he ever get waswasa after this? So the ulama mentioned in a very beautiful way. They said it's not required that Shaitan had to be there. This is the thing that people are misunderstanding. Shaitan hasn't to physically be there. Shaitan can give waswasa from where? Anywhere. And so he's communicating directly to the heart of Adam alayhi salam, telling him all these things. What is he telling Adam? Said, and he's giving some crazy stuff. What is that he's telling him? He's telling him that, well, Adam, he says, ما نهاكما ربكم عن تلكما عن هذه الشجرة إلا أن تكونا ملكين أو تكونا من الخالدين. He said that Allah didn't prevent you from this tree. It's only because He didn't want you to become angels. or that he didn't want you to live forever in Jannah. Because if you ate from this tree, then you live forever in Jannah. Because otherwise, Allah knows he's been created for a specific purpose. Everyone knows that eventually he has to leave, right? He's going to have to go eventually, right? He's not there forever, right? So then Shaitan goes and said, you know, you would change form. And Allah didn't want that. And or you become a person who lives for Jannah forever. This is some ajib, exotic stuff, right? And then he goes and says, Adam, it's fine. Okay, you're big enough. You're smart enough. You're intelligent enough, right? If you ate from it, you understand Allah's command is still okay. You're fine, right? Now this waswasa is coming. And Shaitan will come and come and come. How much does Shaitan will try his best? Okay? Shaitan does not rest like other people do. A 24/7 job. And daily, constantly, consistently. He's going to continuously give this waswasa. Okay? And so what happens? Time passes by. The first time Adam alayhi salam hears this, what would you think? After the first time I heard this, I'll tell myself, this is some crazy stuff. Let me just abandon it and let it go. So then Adam alayhi salam, he just abandons it. He says, no, this is from Shaitan. I was my Shaitan regime, right? What happens is, as time goes by, you know, you hear it again, hear it again, hear it again. And the Quran is described in a very beautiful way. فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورِ دَلْوٌ Bucket. Right? دَلْوٌ is a bucket. Adla means to lower the bucket completely. Dalla means to lower it little by little. You know when you're catching a rabbit? No one caught a rabbit before. You bring the carrot, right? You put the carrot in one spot. And you just have to wheel it closer, really closer, really closer. Or maybe even a fish. A fish probably works better for you guys. Much more you have fishermen here, right? Okay, anyways. So the fish, you learn a lot of the thing, right? And then subhanAllah, like, you know, you let it go. And the fish is looking at it like, I don't know, do I want it? And you ask the fish, is like, do you think I want it? And he's like, it looks pretty good, man. Don't be crying, brother. Right? And the frog is telling, no, don't do it, brother. I seen up there. It's not good, okay? Because the frog can go up and down, right? He's like, man, I've seen it. It's not good stuff up there, brother. He's like, no, I don't want to listen to you. I don't care what good advice you have to do, right? I'm going to go eat it. So then what does the fish do? He jumps out, right? Then he reels it in, right? As fast as he can, just to reel it in, right? And so this is what Shaitan is doing. فَدَلَّهُمَا Adam, you don't have to go to this tree. Allah said, this is the haram tree. You can go to this tree, right? You can go to that tree. You can go to this tree and that tree. You know, like, these are not the haram trees. They're just regular trees. What's the big deal? The tree is all the way over there, Adam. What's the big deal? Right? You're not doing zina. You're just texting her. What's the big deal? Right? You can he gets you by stages. Kutuah, stages he gets you. So then he says, go to this one and that one and this one and that one and keep getting closer and closer and closer as much as you can, getting closer and getting closer. And time goes by, days. Allah knows how much time went by. Again, it's a timeless place, right? The time goes by. What does Adam Aysan find himself? Right next to the tree that he started from the beginning from. Then Iblis goes and tells him and goes and says that there's not a big deal here. Allah Ta'ala just didn't want you to become this or this. He says, وَقَاسَمُهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاسِحِينَ He says, I swear wallahi tallahi billahi. He said, قَاسَمَهُمَا I swear by Allah. You can take my qasam. You take my oath. That I'm telling you, I'm a good advisor to you. There's nothing wrong with what I'm trying to tell you. Absolutely nothing wrong. Right? And then what happens, right? And so the Bible has a very different stance on this. Well, Hawa, Eve, she goes to the tree and she bites it and she takes it, right? The Quran doesn't go to any of those things. What does the Quran say? فَأَكَلَا They both then said, okay, let's have a bite of the apple. Right? Or not the apple. I keep saying astaghfirullah. We don't know what type of tree it was, right? So this is the type of thing, right? We don't know what kind of tree it was. So they take a bite of the fruit that is there. So they consume it, right? And now what happens is immediately, what happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran, that Shaitan, his whole goal was, لِيُبَدِيَهُمَا وُورِي عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوَاتِهِمَا Shaitan knew what would happen if they ate from the tree. Shaitan knew that if they were to consume from the tree, their aura, their private parts would be exposed. Okay? The same fitna that we experience today of people unveiling and covering themselves, the same thing Shaitan wanted from the beginning of time. And so he knew that if they ate from the tree, the clothing of Jannah would disappear. So immediately it disappeared. Right? And then they saw that they had to cover themselves because they felt embarrassed that they were naked. So they started covering themselves and shield themselves with the leaves of Jannah. And then you see that this entire, like, this the earth that they're on is shaking. This is the first time that man has committed a mistake before Allah. And everything is shaking. The earth is shaking. The heavens are shaking. Everything is going all over the place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called out to Adam. وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَلْكُمَا أَنْتِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَ وَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ Didn't I tell you that don't go near this tree? And didn't I tell you the Shaitan was a terrible enemy for you? Don't you remember all these things, O Adam? Don't you, you know, why did you do such a thing, O Adam? Such a difficult position he was put in.
But what happens is, we get the foil, we get the opposite of what happens to Shaitan and Iblis. Shaitan, when he was presented with the opportunity to give his reason, he goes and says, Ya Allah, I'm justified for committing this sin. And when Adam made it, his mistake in the beginning, and he legitimately, look, he forgot. There was no other way you could ever describe it. He was brought in such a long time, and then he brought from that tree, and then he ate from it. What could you say was wrong about that? It's been such a long time, right? So much time has been by. But Adam did not go and start saying, Allah, I'm justified because Shaitan did this to me. I'm justified because of this, or because of that, or this is the reason Allah, or this is the reason why. He goes and says, Rabbana ظلمنا أنفسنا. Rabbi Kareem, we wronged ourselves, Ya Allah. There's no justification for a sin. There's no justification for a mistake. Allah, we did zulm on ourselves. We didn't do it. No one else was wronged. You weren't wrong. You weren't abusive, Ya Allah. You didn't do anything wrong. We wronged ourselves. We did the absolute worst thing that we could do. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا Ya Allah, if you don't forgive us, وَتَرْحَمْنَا And you don't have mercy on us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ We will surely be from the absolute, the greatest of all losers of all of existence. If you don't forgive us, Ya Rabbi Kareem, this is going to happen to us. Now, Adam says such beautiful words, and Hawa says such beautiful words. They both قَالَا رَبَّنَا They both say such a beautiful dua. Right? So then what does Allah still do? Is he angry at Adam alayhi salam? Is he upset at him? Allah Ta'ala says, فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Allah says, okay, fine, your tawbah is accepted. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he had to leave Jannah. This is my final point, inshallah. That when Adam alayhi salam, he had to leave Jannah. There was ultimately the case where he had to go. There was no way that he could stay forever. Right, and the whole thing, and people often forget this. They go and say, they say things like this. They go and say that Adam alayhi salam, oh, if he didn't eat from the tree, then we'd all be in Jannah forever. No. That's not the way you should. Allah doesn't make mistakes. You think Allah didn't know this was all going to happen? Next one, Allah knew everything. Allah gave you a lesson to Iblis, and Allah does give you a lesson to Adam alayhi salam. Adam shows you that even with knowledge, and you still should have humility, and if you ever make a mistake, you should make tawbah. The first lesson for mankind, when they first come into this world, the connection that you have with Allah is what type of connection? Of tawbah. So Allah says, oh Adam, you learned the final lesson that I need you to learn. You learned tawbah, now it's time for you to go down. Go down to the earth, and now it's your time to live in the earth, and this is the time for you to toil, etc. Okay? There's a bit more, inshallah ta'ala, but we covered a lot today, mashallah. So may Allah grant us tawfiq and understanding. May Allah grant us afiyah. May Allah protect us from the fitna of Iblis and Shaitan. May Allah protect our children from the fitna of Iblis and Shaitan. May Allah allow us that we are aware of the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, the rulings of Allah. And we should never become people, Ya Rabbi Kareem, that become people that will disobey your commands. We ask Allah Ta'ala that we never become people that justify it as well. May Allah grant us so much understanding, tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. So, Sayyidina Muhammad, and Sayyidina Muhammad, inshallah, we'll make dua, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala shafi'im liya musaleen, wa ala nisa hajra'in. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين واغفر لنا يا مولانا انك الغفور الرحيم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا واخطانا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقه لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين يا ارحم الراحمين يا اكرم الاكرمين يا ذا القوت المتين يا رحم الساكن يا الله لو ياسف forgiveness يا الله ياسف عفو يا الله I ask you for tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, how many sins have we committed, Ya Allah? How many times have we justified our sins, Ya Allah? How many crimes have we committed, Ya Allah? Night and day, day and night, Ya Allah. Covered in guna, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, Ya Rabbi Kareem, how many salah have we missed, Ya Allah? How much roza have we missed, Ya Allah? How much ibadah have we missed, Ya Allah? Allah, how many times have we sinned, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, openly and secretly, Ya Allah? Allah, we thought no one was watching, Ya Allah, but you were watching, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, how many times have we made mistakes, Ya Allah? Allah, if you don't forgive us, Ya Allah, who will forgive us, Ya Allah? Allah, if you don't have mercy on us, who have mercy on us, Ya Allah? Allah, if you don't forgive us, Ya Allah, who will forgive, Ya Allah? Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, if you don't forgive us, Ya Allah, we'll be from the losers, Ya Allah. We're from the worst of creation, Ya Allah. Do you want that, Ya Allah, Rahmeen? Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you create us from the children of Adam and Isa, Ya Allah. The same way he made tawbah to you, Allah, we made tawbah from our sins, Ya Allah. Allah, we made dhulm against ourselves, Ya Allah. We did haram against ourselves, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you're not affected in any way, Ya Allah. If you forgive, Ya Allah, you're the Arham al-Rahmeen, Rabbi Kareem. Rabbi Kareem, forgive all of us, Ya Allah. The Ummah Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us all our sins, Ya Allah. Make tawbah to you, Ya Allah. We'll try our best, Ya Allah, to live a better life, Ya Allah. A more productive life, Ya Allah. A healthy life in Islam, Ya Rahman Rahmeen. Please, Ya Allah, protect us from our nafs, Ya Allah. Protect us from the waswas of Shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, he's our unseen enemy, our unknown enemy, Ya Allah. We have no protection, Ya Allah. He can give waswas from anywhere, Ya Rahman Rahmeen. Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, protect us from the waswas of Shaitan, Ya Allah. The waswas of Iblis, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from our nafs, Ya Allah. Protect us from the fitna of the dunya and akhir, Ya Allah.
protect us from the fitna of Dajjal, Ya Allah. Rabbul Kareem, Ya Allah, protect us from all the fitna of this world and hereafter, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Rabbul Alameen, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, for our children, Ya Allah, and our grandchildren, Ya Allah, and our progeny, Ya Allah, and for the Muslim Ummah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, grant us Hidayah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Ya Allah, night and day, Ya Allah, we've seen kids leave Islam, Ya Allah. The people, Ya Allah, they're getting deceived this world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they're not becoming more productive, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, batil, Ya Allah, is everywhere, Ya Allah. Falsehood is everywhere, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the haqq to be manifest, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring out the haqq, Ya Allah. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ Ya Allah, we want the haqq to come, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, bring the haqq in every single place, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Alameen, we ask, Ya Allah, for all the Muslims, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, from the time of Adam and Isam, Ya Allah, you put us all in Jannah Fidos, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. With Nabi Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, we ask, Ya Allah, that you protect us, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Protect us from our sins, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Protect us from our faults, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Don't expose us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we made so many mistakes, Ya Allah. We don't want to be exposed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, remove our arrogance, Ya Allah. Remove our hasad, Ya Allah, our jealousy, Ya Allah. Remove all the sicknesses of our hearts, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Allah, we ask for afiyah for all the people that are sick, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Grant the shifa to Ibn Ajah, Ya Allah. For all the poor people in the world, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, Ya Allah, please sustain them, Ya Rabbul Alameen. We ask, Ya Allah, they're suffering through floods, Ya Allah. And masaib, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, please restore their homes, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Restore all the Muslim, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. The strength that they used to have, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Alameen, we ask, Ya Allah, to keep us in this path, Ya Allah. The day that we meet you, Ya Allah. يا الله please put us in Jannah Fidawsi Habib Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله. There's a fundraiser in mashallah in within our there'll be a table here for Burroughs Islamic Society mashallah. It's a new masjid project that they're trying to establish. It was bought for $1.8 million. And it was made possible by generous donors. They're trying to pay back their Qarz Hasana. So, and they're working to get their permits and all these different things, mashallah. It's in Westboro, mashallah ta'ala. It's a very beautiful location. Alhamdulillah, and the brothers are here to request that if anyone would like to contribute to this project, inshallah ta'ala. They'll be in the main hall or the area when you enter the entrance way, inshallah ta'ala, with their table. Remember, inshallah ta'ala, if you give some sadaqah for Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, it's mentioned in hadith that no one's wealth ever decreases from sadaqah. And Allah Ta'ala said that if you give sadaqah, you multiply it 700 times, subhanAllah. So we try our best, inshallah, to contribute as much as we can. Jazakallah khairan.